1 Corinthians chapter number 8, and we're going to read one verse together in unison from the King James Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter number 8 and verse number 2. And if you have that in your Bible, let's read together, shall we? And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. I'm going to talk to you this morning about what is it that you think you know. That's a kind of long title for it, but what is it that you think that you know? What is it that you think that you know? Dear God, thank you again for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given to us, Lord. Thank you for the beautiful weather. Thank you for the folks here in church. I pray that you're blessed now. Lord, dear God, please speak to our hearts. Dear Holy Spirit of God, open our hearts to believe the scriptures this morning. Regardless of what we have believed in the past, help us to believe thy word. In Jesus' name we believe. We ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This is a very interesting verse. It's a very almost scary verse when you contemplate it and meditate on this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter number 8, verse number 2, the Bible says, "And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know." Now, since we're all adults in here this morning, every single one of us has been lied to. Probably because you've lied to somebody else. "And whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Amen. Well, we're born liars, we're born sinners, and we're born with this coat of flesh that's sinful and vile, the Bible says. And so by nature, we're children of wrath, and we have to be taught to do that which is right. We have to be taught to obey. We have to be taught to love God. And as we grow older and mature, hopefully we do those things. Unfortunately, the day and age that we live in, the society that we live in, it's becoming more rare as the days go on. And for those of us who are here this morning, and all of us have been lied to, I want you to think back at times that you thought you knew 100% something that was true that you thought and turned out to be false. I want you to think back in your mind of something that you believed 100%. You had no doubt that this was true. Maybe because someone told you something. Maybe because you thought you saw something with your own eyes. And you, over the years, have believed something that was not true. I'm guilty. I don't know about you, but I believed people that lied to me. And it was a shock. When people lie to you, you know, you say, "I can't believe so-and-so just lied to me." Sometimes you find out a year later or 2 years later or 5 years later that somebody lied to you, and you know how devastating it can be. You know how hurtful it can be. Well, that can be true about people or things or truths or doctrines or anything, because that's what he says here. The Apostle Paul's writing in verse number 2. Read it again now. "And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know." That's a scary verse, man. Because you and I think we know something. I've been in courtroom settings and courtrooms for like 40 years. And you know how many times I told you, you know, when the people stand up, the prosecutor stands up, you know, the persecutor there, he stands up. And he starts speaking in his opening statement. I said, "Man, this guy's a thief. He's a liar. He's a murderer. He's a rapist. They ought to hang this guy." Then he sits down and the defense attorney gets up. The defense lawyer gets up. And he presents his side. Then I said to myself as I'm sitting there, I said, "That prosecutor's a liar, man. He's trying to frame this guy." It's very important that when you are listening to something or searching for something, that you are willing to listen to both sides. I should say three sides. Because there's always your version, somebody else's version. There's a nursery upstairs if you want to take the baby up there. There's your side, there's somebody else's side, but there's also God's side. And God can see things and knows things that you and I do not know. For instance, I don't know people's motives and their intentions in their heart, and neither do you. You can't see the heart. Now, you can sort of guess, you know, the older you get, you should be able to you know, you can figure out some people by the way they act, the way they talk, and the way they hold themselves. You can tell a lot about a person by how they act and how they are. Of course, you can't see everything in the person's heart, obviously, but you can tell a lot about a person when they talk. And the same thing is true about a thing. You can tell a lot about something, but you may not know everything. You know when everything is going to be revealed? At the judgment. And all of us are going to be shocked when everything is going to be revealed then. You and I are going to be shocked at things that we believed 100% sure that people told us for all our lives. They're going to be lies and falsehoods. And then you're going to hear something that you disregarded all your life as the truth, and you're going to be shocked that that was the truth. And it's very important, ladies and gentlemen, that you listen to everything you can, especially when it comes to truth and the Word of God. See, Jesus calls himself the truth, the way, and the life. He's truth. In Deuteronomy 32, verse number 4, I believe it is, God calls himself truth. He's a God of truth. So this book is true. God is true. In John 17, 17, Jesus said, thy word is true. Truth. And I don't know about you, but I want what is true, what is honest, what is truth. And if Jesus is truth and the word of God is truth, this book sheds light on everything in life. And one of the reasons we don't know about everything the way that we should is because we don't know as much as we should know about this book. This book reveals people. This book, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, is very clear. It even reveals the thoughts and intents of the heart, the Bible says. So the more you know God, the more you know the book, the Word of God, the book of God, the more you'll know about the difference between truth and falsehoods, truth and lies. The devil's not going to come up to you with a pitchfork and a devil suit with horns and steam coming out of his nostrils. He'll probably come up to you as a religious leader with a good smile. Because he likes deceiving people. You know, we think in our minds, you know, sinful things are, you know, the things that we talk about and the things that we preach about. But the devil's a lot smarter than you think he is. And if he wants to deceive you, he's going to come to you as somebody who's religious, who seems sincere. And you're going to be taken. Because Jesus said, Satan, the devil, comes to you in sheep's clothing. As a wolf in sheep's clothing. And the only way you're going to know that is by reading what God says in the Word of God. So there are some things that you and I thought were true. Found out later, they were not true at all. Take a Bible, please turn with me to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter number 37. You remember the story where Joseph's brothers were jealous and envious at Joseph because God was working through him and blessing him. And he was pretty much anointed of God, and he was used of God during the famine to spare his own family and the people of Israel and his family, obviously. But Genesis chapter number 37 here, we read the story where his own brothers betrayed Joseph and sold him off into slavery. In Genesis chapter number 37, in verse number 29, Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. And he returned unto his brethren and said, the child is not, and I, whither shall I go? Then they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. This is the coat of many colors, if you know Joseph and his coat, right? Well, they took his coat, you know, they sold him into the Midianites, the Egyptians there. Reuben didn't know it. They just wanted to put him in the pit, and they were trying to get back at him because they were jealous that God was speaking and using Joseph, and God wasn't using them. And so to get back at Joseph, they tried to put him in the pit, and they sold him off into slavery, and they took his coat that was left over, and they killed a goat, a kid, and they dipped the coat of many colors into the blood. Now you can imagine why they're very deceptive in doing this, very evil in doing this. So they took verse number 32, they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, this have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it. This is Jacob. All right, Israel. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. Watch this now. An evil beast had devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. Now, it wasn't until years later that he realized he was wrong. But in his mind, he said, without doubt, man, my son's killed. Some evil beast has killed him. This is the coat of many colors, his favorite coat that we made him, and the blood's all over. He never imagined in his mind that his own children would be so envious and jealous that they would do something so diabolical to sell him off as a slave into Egypt and then take this coat, dip it in blood to make it look to his father that some evil beast has eaten him up, man. He's dead. He's gone. Now, can you imagine living like that for 5, 10, 20 years, thinking that your son, Joseph, the one that God was dealing with, was using, was blessing, had been killed by an evil? Can you imagine living with, thinking in your mind for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, believing a lie that you thought was truth? There's too many times people are grieving over falsehoods and lies that you can't see the whole picture. And you're tearing yourself apart because you can't see what God sees. And I'm not saying everybody's lying to you. I'm not saying people are lying to you, but somebody's going to lie to you. And you're going to believe a lie. Somebody's going to persuade you to believe a lie, and you're going to become bitter. You're going to become envious. You're going to be jealous. You're going to get angry. And you're going to ruin your own life because you in your mind have no doubt that this thing that you believed is true. Most likely, it may not be. And even if it is true, you don't know the whole picture. You don't know the whole story. So the best thing to do is to believe what God says everywhere in the scriptures and just wait it out. Just wait it out. Because whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. One of the most ingredients in life is being patient. Too many people just jump to a conclusion, to a premature conclusion, a false conclusion, and they do things irrationally, thinking it'll never get better. That's a lie, first of all, because if you got Jesus, everything's going to get better. Amen. Maybe not before you die, maybe not before Jesus gets here, but everything's going to be a lot better when Jesus gets here, amen? And everything's going to be a lot better when I go home, amen? This world is not my own home. Have you heard that song? You have your eyes too much on the world. You have your eyes too much on people who lie to you, who will deceive you, who will forsake you. Religions will do that. Churches will do that. Do you think politicians will do that? Huh? You don't think politicians will lie to you, do you? Huh? A politician only lies when they move their lips, ladies and gentlemen. But we've become accustomed to believing falsehoods and lies without listening to the entire story or hearing both sides. And then we falsely come to a false conclusion, a premature conclusion, and then it affects us because our outlook on life is skewed and not right. And then you make decisions based on a skewed outlook on life, a false conclusion that in your mind, you have no doubt this is right, but it's not. The Apostle Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. First Corinthians chapter number 8. First Corinthians chapter number 8. I want you to read it again. Verse number 2. I want you to read what God says here. Not what the preacher says, not what the reverend says, the minister. Because I got news for you. Pastors, ministers, and reverends can lie to you. But God will never lie to you. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. Now, there's some things I'm pretty sure about. For instance, I'm 100% sure I'm saved because I asked Jesus Christ to save my soul according to what God said in the Bible. Now, I'll be honest with you, I don't know if anybody else in the room is saved because I can't see your heart. You could be playing religious games to show up to church, you know, once a week or once a year or twice a year, you know, Christmas and Easter, and just be religious about it. Well, I can't see your heart. Only God can see the heart. So I would think that most of the people come to this kind of a church is saved. You've asked Christ to save your soul. But as I said in the adult Bible study, some people come looking for a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Some people come looking for a nursery. Some people come looking for the latest gossip or what somebody's wearing or you name it, man. There's a whole bunch of reasons why somebody might come. Oh, I like the stained glass windows. Or I like the nursery. I like this. I don't know what the reasoning is. I just know that I'm saved because I asked Jesus Christ to save my soul. Are you sure that you're saved? Or did you believe something contrary to the Word of God? I don't want to believe a liar, a man, whether he's in a religious suit or not. I'd rather believe what God says. When God says something, it's truth. There's no error involved. Take a Bible, please, and turn with me to, let's see here, Psalm 23. You know what? Before we go there, let's go to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs 23, since we're nearby there. It's Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23, right in the middle of your Bible is the book of Psalms, the biggest book in the Bible, and right after Psalms is Proverbs. Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. And verse number 7. Now, remembering what the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 8:2, that we don't know everything the way that we ought to know everything yet. I want you to think as you read this verse here in verse number 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. The way you think, now this is, I think, part 7 in repentance, right? If I'm counting correctly, I think this is part 7 in the series. I've never had a series this long in my entire life pastoring. This is the 7th part in a series that I've been teaching and preaching on Sunday mornings on repentance, change of mind. And repent means to change your mind. That's all it means. Well, here God says in verse number 7, Proverbs chapter number 23, verse 7, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. The reason you are the way you are, because that's how you think. I repeat that. The reason you are the way you are is because that's how you think. If you think like quitting, you're going to quit. If you think that this is a book of fables and man wrote it, that's exactly how you're going to live. If you believe this book is the Word of God, if you think that way, you'll live according to that way. God will never let you down. God will never lie to you. So the way that you think in your heart is how you are. That's what God says. The reason, look, the biggest obstacle in your life is you. Not your husband or your wife. Not your parents, not your children, not your background. And your background and your education, the way you grew up, all affect you. I'm not saying they don't affect you, but you can change the way that you think. You can change from being defeated to being a victorious overcomer if you change your mind. You can think that I never do anything right, or you know, with God I can do all things. The song the lady sang, all things are possible to him that believeth. Do you believe that verse? All things are possible. Only believe. So you don't think it's possible to live for God because that's how you think. And that translates into your life. Say, well, I can't do that, Pastor. You can do it. The reason you can't do it because you think you can't do it. The reason some people do what God says to do is because they think they can do what God's commanded them to do. So what is it in your life that's an obstacle, a barrier, a hurdle that you look at like the Israelis, the Jews, went in, they were told to go into the promised land and take it, and 10 of them came back and said, we can't take it. The land's full of giants, and in their sight, we're like grasshoppers. But Joshua and Caleb said, we can do it. Amen. 10 outvoted the 2 in a pure democracy, democratic vote. God cursed the people of Israel for 40 years wandering in the wilderness because 10 people lied. They did say there were giants. That wasn't a lie. They did say that we're like grasshoppers in their sight, and that's not a lie. But the fact that they disbelieved what God said, they lied. So the Bible says they brought back an evil report, and it's, I can't remember right now, but it says like they sat in the heart of all the people. And that's what an evil report does. It discourages someone from doing that which is right. You can get a job if you wanted to. You've just been in the Troy welfare mentality too long. Should I repeat that statement again? Your mindset is what's wrong. You've been listening to the lies of Satan, the enemy, why you cannot do what God's commanded you to do. Now, if you're handicapped, I understand that. If you got physical disabilities, I understand that. But I'm telling you, it's mostly all in your mind. And until you change your mind, until you change your thinking, you're going to live that way. And you don't know even what you're thinking, as Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 8, verse number 2. Take your Bible, please turn with me to Mark chapter number 9. Mark chapter number 9. Now, I think I don't know if I talked about this story last week or we read it, but I want to show this to you for a purpose here this morning. Mark chapter number 9, the Gospel of Mark chapter number 9. What is it that you believe? Do you believe lies or do you believe the truth? Do you believe men or do you believe the Word of God? As I said, Jesus said, thy word is truth. God will never lie to you. He'll never deceive you. Men will. And the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. And there's a lot, and the fear of man bringeth a snare, the Bible says in Proverbs. So there's a lot of reason why people, they have, and there's something in it for them to lie to you. They want you to like them. They want you to give them something. They want you to favor their cause. I mean, there's a whole list. There's a litany of things they could be lying to you for. Maybe they hate somebody else that they're lying to you about without you even hearing the other side. We'll get to that in just a little bit. Mark chapter number 9 now. Watch this. And I did mention this last week, and I can't remember for the life of me if we read it or not, but I want you to read this. It seems to me like we read it, but I've been reading it so much, I'm not sure if we read it last week or not. This man comes to Jesus for his son that, you know, the devil's got a hold of him. You know, if a child, he's foaming or throwing himself around. And he says in verse, we'll pick it up in verse number 20. The Gospel of Mark chapter 9, verse number 20. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came into him, unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, this man is asking Jesus. Now he's talking to Jesus. Have compassion on us and help us. And here's what Jesus said. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Have you ever witnessed to somebody, give them the gospel, and they say, well, I'm too wicked to get saved? You know why they say that? Because they believe that in their mind. That's contrary to the Word of God. So if I ever came to church, the roof would fall and cave in. Have you ever heard that? Right. You know why? Because in their mind, that's how they're thinking. Contrary to what God said. Because God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So Jesus says to this man, here's what he says. This man's got his son. His heart's broken. But the key to answered prayer, listen to me good, it's not Jesus, it's you. The key to power in your life is not Jesus, it's you. God has a power. God can answer prayer. The problem is you and I. That's the key that unlocks the promises of God and the power of God and the blessings of God. It's not, God's all powerful. Jesus is God Almighty, he's all powerful. The key, though, is you and I believing what he said. So here's this man. He's got a broken heart. He brings his son foaming, wallowing like that, and he tells Jesus about him. And here's what Jesus says to him in verse number 23. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Do you believe that, ladies and gentlemen? He said, Pastor, you don't understand what I've done. You have no idea how far away from God I've been. It really doesn't matter to me. I know what God said. Amen. In your mind, the devil's deceived you that you can never live for God. You can never be blessed of God again. God will never use you. You can never have a happy marriage and happy kids and happy home and have a happy life. I can never have that again, Pastor. That's because you're thinking wrong. Your thinking's messed up. God's in the business of salvaging people. God's in the business of recycling people. And you've been hanging around the wrong people who says there's no hope for you. You're a miserable failure. You'll never do anything right. Well, and so you start thinking that way. Look at verse 24. And here's the man answering Jesus. And this is about as honest an answer as anything in the Bible I've ever seen. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Now, I don't care who you are this morning. Listen to me good. You have, if you can imagine, you know your gas tank, you have from E to full, right? Right? You're from go from empty, and there's a dial. There's a either, you know, if it's not digital ties or whatever, in our old clunkers, we have those dials that go, you know? And it goes from being full to empty. Your belief tank is like that. You can have a full tank of belief, or you can have it somewhere in between, almost going to E. And I'll show you in the Bible. So you can believe a little, and it only takes a grain of a mustard seed to be saved. It only takes believing that the Lord Jesus Christ came from heaven, sinless God Almighty, in the form of flesh, in the form of man, died on the cross, 3 days later rose again for the justification of our sins, for the payment of our sins, and we can be saved by asking Jesus Christ for salvation, and it's that simple. If you believe that, you can be saved. This church can't save you. Baptism can't save you. Membership can't save you. The offering basket can't save you. Your good works cannot save you. Only Jesus Christ can save your soul. If you think your good works can save you, then Jesus died in vain. If you think your morality can save you, why would Jesus die on the cross, if not to pay for your sins? Jesus came for one reason and one reason only, not to be a good moral teacher, ladies and gentlemen, not to be a religious leader, to save his people from his sins. Now, this man answered, he said, Lord, I believe. And I'm telling you, I think one of the most honest answers anyone ever gave to Jesus, help thou mine unbelief. So you have a dial that goes from full to empty. Just like in the Bible, the word faith. There's a lot of people who have his own disciples at one time were faithless, the Bible says. Sometimes you're faithful, full of faith. Sometimes you have little faith, much faith, full of faith, or no faith. Where are you this morning? Where's your dial of belief this morning? I don't know. I can't tell you. I don't even know where mine is. I'll be quite honest with you. I want to believe everything God says. I want to obey everything God says. And my heart's desire is to obey God. My heart's desire is to do what God wants me to do. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why you need preaching. That's why you need church. So that you can build up your faith dial to be full. This man was being honest with God. Said, God, I believe. Please, please, just help my unbelief, he said. And Jesus did. You can, all right, let's say you have a quarter tank of belief and three quarters of a tank of unbelief. Maybe you just have a smidgen of belief enough to get saved, but you're really nervous about the rest of it because you have so much baggage from your pre-salvation days that you believe the lies of Satan, of the enemy, and you're still carrying those lies that you think, like Jacob, there's no doubt my son's dead. And so in your mind, you have these no doubts that you think are no doubts. They're not really no doubts. Remember, I think the first week we talked about in Acts chapter number 28, rather, when Paul was shipwrecked and that viper came out and bit him on the arm, and the barbarian people there thought that he was going to die, and there was no doubt that he was going to die. But after a while, the Bible says they changed their minds when Paul, after he shook the venomous beast off, and he lived. The first says they had no doubt that he was a murderer or a thief, and he was going to die for his sins. Again, that phrase is no doubt. But the Bible says they changed their mind. That means you can change your mind this morning. If you're not saved, you can get saved. If you're not right with God, you can get right with God. If you think I can't ever do that, Pastor, you can. If God says it, you can. Your problem is you. You have to change your mind. You have to change your thinking from belief, from unbelief to belief in whatever area it is that's keeping you from getting closer to God. God doesn't want you further away from him. He wants you as close as possible. He loves you. He died for you. He made you. He created you. There's no one who loves you like Jesus loves you. No one. Take your Bible, please turn with me to Hosea, chapter number 10. Hosea, Old Testament. After Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel is a book of Hosea. Hosea, chapter number 10. This is a Bible study slash sermon this morning. Hosea, chapter number 10. Hosea, chapter number 10. Aren't you glad you're saved? Aren't you glad God's a merciful God, a patient God, a loving God? Huh? I'm glad he was patient with me, amen? Hosea, chapter number 10. After the book of Ezekiel is Hosea. I'm sorry, after Ezekiel is Daniel, then Hosea, chapter number 10. Now, I want you to look at, we're going to focus here on verse number 2. Look at this here a second. Hosea, chapter number 10, and verse number 2. Their heart is what? Divided. How can you have a divided heart? Well, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes people have divided loyalties. They have divided hearts when it comes to, man, I want to do that, but I really don't want to do that. You know what I'm talking about. You've been there. Maybe because you love someone or something. Maybe somebody's told you something, but it's very awkward, the position you're in, and you have a divided loyalty and a divided love and a divided heart towards someone or something. Well, guess what? There's some belief and there's some unbelief there. Some people don't want to face facts. Some people don't want to face truth, and they have a divided heart. They want to believe God. They want to believe what Jesus said. They want to believe the Word of God, but there's so much involved in your life, in your mind, in your heart, that you have a divided heart, that you love your sin. And by the way, sin is pleasurable, the Bible says, but only for a season. The devil makes it pleasurable so that you will like your sin and love your sin to keep you from God. And in your mind, you say, I can't get rid of that sin. Yeah, you can. You can put away the bottle. You can. You can put away the dope. You can put away the drugs. You can put away whatever sin is keeping you away from God. You can do it. But in your mind, you think you can't. All you got to do is go to Jesus like this man did. Say, Lord, I believe. Please, with tears, help my unbelief. Really, I want to believe. Help my unbelief, God. And what you're saying is, I have a divided heart. Look, there's no one in here who's immune. I don't care who you are. There's no one in here who's immune to this, because all of us bring baggage with us when we get saved. All of us, every single one of us. Take your Bible, please. Turn with me to Matthew chapter number 6, please. The Gospel of Matthew chapter number 6. Three more verses and then we'll close. The Gospel of Matthew chapter number 6. But my closing lasts about an hour and a half. Sometimes. Do you believe that? Sometimes. Matthew chapter number 6. Verse number 22. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 22. Jesus speaking. The light of the body is the eye. If there thine eye be, what's it say? Single. Why would he use the word single? Well, if it's not single, it's divided. If it's not single in one heart, one mind, one faith, one purpose, if it's single, that's a good thing. You have your mind, your heart focus on singular things. Watch this. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be, what's it say? The same word is used for divided, evil. So why do I... You know, you read Romans chapter number 7. Paul says, why do I do the things I don't want to do, and I do the things I don't? He says, I do the things I don't want to do, and I don't do the things I want to do. Because you have a coat of flesh on like the Apostle Paul had. You're no different than he was. He was a saved sinner, just like you're saved. But in his case, he forsook it all, and little by little grew in maturity and spirituality to do what God wanted him to do. He singularly followed Jesus Christ, not with a divided heart. Keep reading here. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. That's why you say there, so Pastor, I thought I got saved. Well, maybe you did get saved. Yeah, but why am I still doing this? Well, maybe you have a divided heart. Maybe your belief tank is still close to E. Have you ever run out of gas? Usually if you run out of gas, you only do it one time. I remember I ran out of gas with my cousin going all across the Ben Franklin Bridge in Philly. And I had the old, I don't know, 67 Ford Fairlane station wagon. And I don't remember where we were going. I don't remember which direction we were going. And the gauge was not working. But I thought I filled it up, you know. I'll never forget this. We were on the top or somewhere three quarters over the Ben Franklin Bridge. A police officer pulled up behind us. And I started cranking it. Wouldn't turn over. He says, "You have gas?" I say, "Yeah, that's what I thought." This is what he said. He said, "If you have gas in that tank, I'm Adolf Hitler," he said. The man knew more than I did. Look, I was, I don't know, 18 years old, 19 years old, driving a car that I didn't know much about. I thought I had filled it up. I thought I had enough gas. I just assumed, you know what I'm talking about, that I had filled it up. I don't know who used the car beforehand, had no idea. I just assumed because the gauge was not working, I thought I had gas in that tank. Here's a police officer, never met me, never saw the car before. I don't know what he did. I think he put a rope down the tank, or he looked, opened it, or dropped some tape down there. I don't remember exactly now. He came back to the car window, and he says, "If you got gas in there, I'm Adolf Hitler," he said. That man knew more about my car than I did. He knew more about my situation than I did. I just assumed I had gas in my gas tank. You just assume that you have enough belief to live a victorious Christian life. No, you may have enough belief to get saved. You may have enough belief in some other areas. But doesn't mean your tank is full of belief. Because if it's divided, it's not singular. It's not single. And you're going to run into evil and wickedness, and the devil's going to trip you up because you thought something that was not right. So I'm a child of God. That doesn't mean that everything's going to turn out right in your life now if you don't obey the rest of the word of God. Take your Bible, please, turn with me to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14, the fifth book in the New Testament. The book of Acts chapter 14. We live our lives as if there's no God. No God who sees us, no God who knows us. Well, that's unbelief. Even if you're saved, even if you're a child of God, you can live your life like an atheist without praying. Ask yourself, why don't you pray on your knees every single day like Jesus said? Ask yourself, why don't you read your Bible every day like God commands us to? Well, you have a divided heart. You know, you want to watch the videos, play video games. You want to be on Facebook all the time. You know, you want to be online. You want to go somewhere instead of obeying what God said. You have a divided heart. I'm not saying it's wrong to go online. I'm not saying it's wrong to go to a park and have a good time. I'm not saying that. But when you have divided loyalties, you're going to run into trouble. Acts chapter number 14, verse number 1. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. Can you imagine Jews and Greeks getting saved? Wow. Talk about a revival miracle, huh? Verse number 2 now, watch this. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Yeah. I told you a story. After I got saved, the priest came to our home and told my mom that the place I was going, he hates people. I come home, my mom's having a heart attack. Where you're going to church? That pastor, he hates people. I said, what are you talking about? Then she told me the priest was at the house. I said, okay, that makes sense. The unbelievable, look what it says. Verse number 2. The unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Why aren't you concerned with what God says instead of what a man says? Why aren't you concerned with what Jesus said instead of what a man says? Look, I love you and I hope you love me, but I'd rather you take what God says than what Pastor Kalita says. Because Pastor Kalita, he can be wrong. I'm a sinner like everybody else. And I can sometimes misread things. I may say the wrong year. I may say the wrong date. I may say the wrong chapter. I may say the wrong verse sometimes. But you'll never go wrong believing what God says. Never, ever. Because God is truth. So here, the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds. That's where you think. That's where your emotions are. And somebody's, you're listening to the wrong crowd. Look, you have chosen the wrong crowd, and that's what makes you think evil thoughts. You go, you know what? You let your snotty-nosed kids watch these horror flicks at night, then you wonder why they have nightmares at night. It's the parents' heads that need to be examined, not the children's head. So I don't know what's wrong with Johnny or Susie. Well, don't let them watch all these horror flicks and then let them go to bed. It's not difficult. So everything you watch, everything you listen to, everything you hear, everyone you hang around with, listen to me good, some way or another is going to affect the way you think. Now, if you're around God's people, hopefully you start thinking that way. If you're around the devil's crowd, sure, you're going to drink, carouse, party, get drunk, commit suicide, fornicate, commit adultery, steal, lie, end up in jail. So what's the difference? It's who you hang around with. Because who you hang around with affects the way you think and makes your mind evil affected. Take your Bible, please. We'll close with this. Galatians chapter number 3. Galatians chapter number 3. Verse number 1. Liars believe lies. Honest people believe truth. Let me repeat that. Liars believe lies. Honest people believe truth. It's going to devastate you when some of your closest friends you find out have lied to you. But I'd rather you find out now before you die than stand at the judgment seat and realize you lived a life that was a lie. I'd rather you find out now with a broken heart than end up in hell because you rejected the truth of the Word of God. Galatians chapter number 3, verse number 1. O foolish Galatians. The Apostle Paul's writing this. I have circled the next word in my Bible. Who hath bewitched you? That ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. See, it's not a circumstance in your life that's changed you. It's formed you a little bit. It hasn't changed you. It might have helped you. Has not changed you. You know what changes you? Your mindset. Because when something happens in your life, you're going to get two versions. One person is going to say, you know what? Quit. Walk away from God. I told you it wasn't worth it. The other person is going on the other side and say, you know what? Hang in there. Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good to them that love God. Don't quit on God. God's going to bless. So it's not the circumstance in your life. It's not a devastating effect in your life that happened in your past. No, it's how you decided to think about it that changed your thinking and your life as a result of it. Everybody's gone through heartaches in this room. Don't tell me you haven't. We've all gone through things that we never wish would have happened. Everyone's gone through either rejection, misery, heartache, you name it. The difference of how you come out of there is how you think about it, because which side you're going to listen to. You'll listen to the devil's crowd, say, quit, hang it up. You can't take this no more. You weren't made for this. God doesn't love you. Or are you willing to believe everything God said in the Bible? It's up to you. Closing again. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. Hey, if you're not saved, you can get saved. Hey, if you're not living right for God, you can get right with God. If you think God will never receive you, you're wrong. God will receive you. If you think God will never bless you, you're wrong. God will bless you. If you think you'll never get things right and God will never put your life back together, no, you're wrong. Because I read the book and I believe what God said. God will never forgive me. You don't understand what I've done, Pastor. No, you know, you don't know the rest of the book. God said he will forgive you. If you got breath, if you're breathing, if you're alive, God will forgive you. But you got to help. You got to ask God to help your unbelief and fill up that tank of belief with more Bible reading, Bible preaching, Bible teaching. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's all stand, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for salvation. I want to thank you, Lord, for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for these dear folks. And all of us in this room, dear God, all of us, without an exception, can have belief and unbelief at the same time. We can believe some parts of the Bible. We can believe about Jesus. We can know and we've heard that he was the Son of God, came and died on the cross of Calvary to pay for our sins. We can believe that, but never trust him to be our Savior. We can believe in vain, sometimes the Bible says. And then there's others, Lord, who they've gotten saved, they believe, but they have too much unbelief that's ruining the rest of their lives. They're a basket case. They're nervous. They're full of anxiety, anxious. They're fearful. They're trembling. They have a divided heart. Dear God, all we have to do is believe thy word. It's not complicated. It's not difficult. We just have to humble ourselves before thee with a broken heart and say, God, please forgive me. Please bless. Save my soul. Use me, dear God. I want to love you more. I pray, dear God, that you bless these dear folks for their faithfulness. Bless this invitation. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Christians praying.